Psalm meditation. Today is Psalm 78.
The look, that one's yours.
Psalm 78 is the next to longest psalm in all of Scripture. But it's kind of a distant second. It goes for 72 verses. Psalm 119 goes for 876. If you take out all the length of Psalm 78, Psalm 119 still has 104 more verses. So, this continues in a string put together by the Holy Spirit of Psalms by Asaph. And it is a contemplation of this. Once again, remember that this is not merely the word of Asaph, it is the word of God.
Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, telling to the generation to come the praises of Jehovah and his strength and his wonderful works that he has done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, the children who would be unborn, that they may arise and declare them to their children, that they may set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and may not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that did not set its heart aright and whose spirit was not faithful to God. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. They did not keep the covenant of God. They refused to walk in his law and forgot his works and his wonders that he had shown them. Marvelous things that he did in the sight of their fathers, in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan. He divided the sea and caused them to pass through, and he made the waters stand up like a heap. In the daytime also he led them with the cloud, and all the night with the light of a fire. He split the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink in abundance like the depths. He also brought streams out of the rock and caused waters to run down like rivers. But they sinned even more against him by rebelling against the Most High in the wilderness. And they tested God in their heart by asking for the food of their fancy. Yes, they spoke against God. They said, "Can God prepare a table in the wilderness? Behold, he struck the rock so that the waters gushed out and the streams overflowed. But can he give bread also? Can he provide meat for his people?" Therefore the Lord heard this and was furious, so a fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger also came up against Israel, because they did not believe in God and did not trust in his salvation. Yet he had commanded the clouds above and opened the doors of heaven, had rained down manna on them to eat, and gave them the bread of heaven. Men ate angels' food. He sent them food to the full. He caused an east wind to blow in the heavens, and by his power he brought in the south wind. He also rained meat on them like the dust, feathered fowl like the sand of the seas, and he let them fall in the midst of their camp, all around their dwellings. So they ate and were well filled, for he gave them their own desire. They were not deprived of their craving, but while their food was still in their mouths, the wrath of God came against them and slew the stoutest of them and struck down the choice men of Israel. In spite of this, they still sinned and did not believe in his wondrous works. Therefore, their days he consumed in futility and their years in fear. When he slew them, then they sought him, and they returned and sought earnestly for God. Then they remembered that God was their rock and the Most High God their Redeemer. Nevertheless, they flattered him with their mouth. and they lied to him with their tongue, for their heart was not steadfast with him, nor were they faithful in his covenant. But he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and did not destroy them. Yes, many a time he turned his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath, for he remembered that they were but flesh, a breath that passes away and does not come again. How often they provoked him in the wilderness and grieved him in the desert. Yet again and again they tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. They did not remember his power, the day when he redeemed them from the enemy, when he worked his signs in Egypt and his wonders in the field of Zoan, turned their rivers into blood and their streams that they could not drink. He sent swarms of flies among them, which devoured them, and frogs, which destroyed them. He also gave their crops to the caterpillar and their labor to the locust. He destroyed their vines with hail and their sycamore trees with frost. He also gave up their cattle to the hail and their flocks to fiery lightning. He cast on them the fierceness of his anger, wrath, indignation, and trouble by sending angels of destruction among them. He made a path for his anger. He did not spare their soul from death, but gave their life over to plague and destroyed all the firstborn in Egypt, the first of their strength in the tents of Ham. But he made his own people go forth like sheep and guided them in the wilderness like a flock. And he led them on safely so that they did not fear, but the sea overwhelmed their enemies. And he brought them to his holy border, the mountain which his right hand had acquired. He also drove out the nations before them, allotted them an inheritance by survey, and made the tribes of Israel dwell in their tents. Yet they tested and provoked the Most High God, and did not keep his testimonies, but turned back and acted unfaithfully like their fathers. They were turned aside like a deceitful bow, for they provoked him to anger with their high places, and moved him to jealousy with their carved images. When God heard this, he was furious and greatly abhorred Israel, so that he forsook the tabernacle of Shiloh, the tent he had placed among men, and delivered his strength into captivity and his glory into the enemy's hand. He also gave his people over to the sword and was furious with his inheritance. The fire consumed their young men, and their maidens were not given in marriage. Their priests fell by the sword, and their widows made no lamentation. Then the Lord awoke us from sleep, like a mighty man who shouts because of wine, and he beat back his enemies. He put them to a perpetual reproach. Moreover, he rejected the tent of Joseph and did not choose the tribe of Ephraim, but chose the tribe of Judah, Mount Zion, which he loved. And he built his sanctuary like the heights, like the earth which he has established forever. He also chose David his servant and took him from the sheepfolds. From following the ewes that had young, he had brought him. He brought him to shepherd Jacob his people and Israel his inheritance. So he shepherded them according to the integrity of his heart and guided them by the skillfulness of his hands. Wow, what a sad catalog of misdeeds and ungratefulness and shameful thoughts and words and deeds by the holy people of God. That's what this psalm on the surface is all about. It is something that our children need to know about. It is something we need to be teaching them, that God is always faithful and he will not tolerate unfaithfulness in those who claim to be his. This is something we need always to remember, because sadly, we are not perfectly holy just yet. We need to be growing in godliness. We need to be growing in holiness. And sometimes we as believers are no better than these who are mentioned in Psalm 78, the old covenant people of God. We end up doing all kinds of sad and foolish and wicked things, or stay away from what we ought to be doing, neglecting our duties before God. If indeed we are in Jesus Christ, if this begins to happen, God will not allow it to continue. God will remove himself from us from a time, and will send upon us that which will drive us back to him. It's rather like a little kid trying to run away from you parents. They may think they're going to have fun. They may think they want to get to the other side of the street for some reason or another, and you're not about to let them go. You're going to grab onto their hand. You're going to restrain them from going. In fact, you might end up saying, since you can't behave, since you can't resist going across the road, you're going inside. You're not going outside anymore today. You may do that, and you end up doing that which is very unpleasant to them, not because you're mean, not because you're nasty, not because you hate your children, but because you love them. You're going to hold them and keep them, and you're going to take away temptation from them. We need to be careful of this, friends, because God is, if we make an idol of something, God takes it away. God takes it away. So let us be sure that our hearts are right with God. Now, we see all this, how the Israelites continued to sin and God abandoned them for a time. And we think, and we properly should be thinking, what awful fools they were. But let us look and see that we are indeed the same way. Isn't it an amazing thing? And as I was studying over this a little bit further yesterday, I broke down. Because what a fool am I? And what fools are we all? And how God nonetheless has returned to us. And as a Father in heaven has rescued us from our sin, sometimes by ways that are very, very difficult for us, but sometimes in ways that are such obvious, gracious works of his, we are just amazed and overwhelmed with how God is good to us. For after all, in the councils of eternity, seeing that we would be this way, he chose to love us. Not because, once again, I know you've heard me say this a zillion times, but it's worth remembering. Not because we're lovely, because we're not. We're ugly and disgusting in our sin, but because he is loving. He determined to love us. He chose to love us. And he chose to give us his only begotten Son. That is an amazing, amazing love. Once again, the longer we know someone, the better we know someone, the more we love them. Love just continues to grow over time for us as humans. For God, his relationship, the Father's relationship with the Son, was an everlasting one and a perfect one, with an, we might say, an infinite love between the persons of the Godhead, an infinite and perfect love. And with that great love, God the Father determined to give his only begotten Son, the Son, in love to his Father, but in love to his Father's chosen ones, gave himself for us. And the Holy Spirit has come to filthy us, disgusting us, to live within us and transform us and cleanse us. Oh, as we see all this, friends, let us be determined in heart more and more to forsake our sin. Let us be striving and let us be crying out in prayer that God would deliver us and make us more and more holy, that he would fulfill that promise found in 1 John 1:9, that if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Well, that's a long psalm, but I don't have a lot of meditation on that. It gets to the point. And ultimately, when we see talking about David at the end there, and when we talk about God making Zion his holy place where he dwells, we should be thinking of Jesus. We should be thinking of him who was the descendant of David, the one who has brought about the tabernacle of God, not in Shiloh, not on Mount Zion, but in the midst of his people. We should be looking to him against whom the people rebelled, against whom the people offended, just like we who've rebelled and offended. May it be that he, in his grace, will restore us to himself more and more, and restore his church and purify his church, that we might be pure and spotless without blemish. While we will sing from this first part of Psalm 78, that which enjoins us to be teaching our children of God and his covenant of grace. Psalm 78a.